Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. That's the scripture we're reading this morning. Genesis chapter 28, 16 to 17. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." What an encounter. What a moment. As I read that, I couldn't help think but about the power of the Lord's presence, how important it is. We must always and forever base everything on the presence of God. That's one of the signs, and I'll come to that in a moment here. And I asked the question, have you had any signs like that, that this is the Lord affirming? I can tell you some things about my own experience. I can remember I was a young person, and I was at this camp. I think I've told the story before. And it was late at night. It was on a hill overlooking a lake. And I just knelt down, and I said, "Lord, do you want me? Is there something that I'm sensing in my heart? What's happening here? What's going on?" And I felt that the Lord had said to me, "Owen, people are forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever, and my word is forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever." And those two things, I knew that whether I was driving a cab or building a house or selling insurance or preaching, but I never thought that way in those days. I just knew that I'd been in the presence of the Lord. I had no doubt in my mind. I didn't have to confirm it with anybody. I knew that the Lord was speaking to me and there was about to be some changes, which there was. I remember another time, oddly enough, at the same place, the same Bible camp. I guess it does hold some important moments for me. I remember one time there was an altar call. I wasn't speaking. I think I was just at the camp, probably camp counseling with a bunch of little campers, if I remember that. And they gave an altar call of anybody who wanted to come forward. And I came forward, and I just knelt down first. And next thing, I'm kind of down on my hands and knees, and then I'm kind of laying down. Next thing, I'm stretched right out, It was 8 o'clock, and now it's 9 o'clock, and now it's 10 o'clock, and now it's 11 o'clock, and they're starting to turn the lights out, and I'm still there, and I just didn't feel I was supposed to leave there. And I'm not normally the kind of person that thinks that way, but I just 11 o'clock, at 12 o'clock, at 1 o'clock, maybe even 2 o'clock, I lost track of time, and I was just there. And I don't even know. I said, "Lord, what's supposed to happen now?" Well, I just knew that I was just stay there, and I wept and cried and yielded, and then I found my way. They left a light on, so I found my way back to my cabin. I thought, "Wow, what an evening! What was that about?" Well, all I know is that some of you will know this name, but Brother Frank Kosick was there. And he is a very fiery kind of a person, piercing eyes. Made you start confessing stuff out of your childhood when you met him. As if he knew something, you know. And I'm in the dinner lineup, and he comes beside me, and he stands beside me. He looks at me. He was Polish. He says, "My brother." He says, "I perceive that you were under the spout where the glory runs out. Is that correct?" I said, "Yeah, believe it was, Brother Kosick, believe it was. I have a word for you." And that would be what? "Stay there." And he turned around and walked away. Just walked away. But there was truth in that. He was right. In a sense, I was under the spout where the glory runs out. But it had a purpose and a plan, and there was something God wanted. God was talking to me and preparing me for fruitfulness. So I don't know how it is with you, but I wonder if you have a place in your life where you say, the Lord has met me there on this occasion or that occasion. I can remember being at the Bible College at Esten, and I felt again I should, compelled to go. In this case, there was no lake, or like it was all frozen. And so I just got on my coat and I started walking down this back road out of town, away from town. And, you know, an hour later, you are really in wilderness in a different kind of way. You can see forever. Not a thing about Saskatchewan with no trees is that you can see for miles and miles and miles, and not a tree to mar the view whatsoever. So there I was. So now I'm a couple of miles from home in the dark. Odd car would go by, but I remember praying, and those days I was praying about Val and what a role she played in my life, and she was probably doing the same. But I know as I walked along that road, I could say in all of these cases, surely the Lord is in this. Why am I feeling what I'm feeling, and why the tears, and how is this some profound? Now, I don't know about you, but perhaps you, how many here have had some kind of moment you just were in God's presence? Yeah. Yeah. It's better felt than telt, right, isn't it? You're not quite sure how you would describe it, because if somebody else hasn't, mine wasn't so crazy emotional or anything. I didn't go running around or anything. I was just kind of still before him. But in one way, it's like he said, and I was afraid. And I was afraid. Yes. Yeah, me too. Because what is he asking me to? Is there something to it? Well, in a church and in a person's life, one of the things that we long for the most is a sense of the Lord's presence and power. And it must be. We're not designed simply to do church, but that the presence of God would mark us. That people walk in, they say, you know, whenever I come to that church, I sense the power of God. When I go there, I sense the power of God. When I'm around so-and-so's life, I sense the presence and power of God. It's we can covet that. And in our prayer time, say, Lord, will you flood over us with your presence and with your power? Will you anoint us for the next phase of the journey? Will you guide us? May an evangelistic spirit be upon us. May the joy of the Lord be our strength. Lord, visit us. Talk to us. Put your hand upon us, that we cannot go on without the power of God shaping us and molding us and directing us and speaking to us. I think of Exodus chapter 33. He says, now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find you. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence shall go with you. Isn't that what we want to hear, that the presence of God is going with us? And I will give you rest. And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring me up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? Now, isn't that interesting? The thing that marks Israel is the Spirit of the Lord. That the Spirit of the Lord is upon my people. If your presence doesn't go, he said, we don't want to go. Because if they don't sense your power and your presence, how will they know that we're yours? How will they know? We'll just be one other tribe. We'll just be one other group of people. Well, now I can bring that home to here. What will be the one statement, the one thing that will make us different from the Rotary and from the Kiwanis and the Elks? And we could go on and on and on of service clubs and agencies of galore. They're all good. They all serve a purpose. We have no problem with any of those groups. May they prosper. But the thing that does not mark them is not the presence of God. Right? It's not, it's organization and goodwill towards the community, which is, again, valid. But there's something that marks the children of God. And that is the presence of the Lord. It can't just be church where someone says, I don't see any difference in that place than any other place. Just a building. Oh, but I'd say, that probably is true if that's how it is, that it's just a building. But ought it not be the presence of Christ? I mean, the tangible presence of Christ. So that we say there's one thing different. When you go to that church, the Spirit of God moves in that place and rests on us and blesses us and guides us and fills us. That's the distinguishing thing, is that we're different because the power and presence of God is with us. And he said, Lord, if it isn't, if we're going into this next decade together, and if it isn't, say, well, we'd have no sense of the Lord being with us. Well, we need to get that. That would be one of the most important things that we could possibly do. Because we are distinct. We are distinct. That's not, we can't take credit for it. But the Lord who plants us and fills us. And I wrote here, God's presence in Israel sets apart the nation of Israel from everyone else. And this is what sets us apart from the world. God's presence with us. Well, what does he do? How does he manifest this? Well, he leads us. He leads us. That's the first thing you say. We are led of God. He's guiding us and directing us. And by those moments that I was describing about, it was actually guidance coming ahead, coming for the days ahead. And I ended up in Winnipeg. Some interesting things happened there, too. It was more, again, I remember walking at night just off Portage Avenue, and I wouldn't do it now. Things have changed, right? You'd have to carry a gun. I have the presence of the Lord and a rifle. You know, I mean, you just can't. Anyway, I was walking down this street at 1 o'clock in the morning because I was working for Rhymer Express, and it was night shift. And so I'm coming home. The buses, I think, had all stopped. So I'm walking home from Inkster Boulevard. I still remember that. And there I was in these bushes, and I was sitting in these bushes. Now, can you imagine how crazy that is now? Officer, there's a guy sitting over there in the bushes. But I was, because I just was trying to get some privacy. And it happened to be just late. That was the only thing. It sounds kind of, and I'm telling you, it sounds kind of ridiculous, but it wasn't at the time. It was a reality. And I remember weeping and wondering what was going on with me. What's happening to me? And the word basically came, you won't be working at Rhymer Express for long. See, direction. Because I was in the presence of God, God can guide me and direct me and show me what to do next. So leading, that would be the first thing. The second thing is guiding. So he's taking us on a journey together, and that's why we want to, it can't just be dry, boring. God's presence must fill us and fill this place so that when we bring a friend, he said, you know, when I come in that church, there's always something fresh about it, something precious about it, something wonderful about it. That's how it ought to be. And then lastly, he's working in us and through us. Boy, there is a difference on that. I wrote here, note the difference. There is one sense that God is always with us. Right? He's always with us. He never leaves us. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you, says the Lord. The promise that he's with us. And therefore, it doesn't matter whether we feel anything or not. Right? We may or may not feel anything. But perhaps we won't feel anything. We just accept it by faith that he's with us, that he guides us and he directs us, and just by faith. And maybe we've never even felt anything or ever experienced anything before. But we just have a sense that there's a scriptural basis. The Lord is with us, and by faith we journey on. But I'm suggesting here today that there's another dimension. There is the scriptural, biblical you know, affirmation and sense of direction that we have just because we read our Bible. We read our Bible, and God says he would guide us and direct us and show us the way. So we say, thank you, Lord, for that. I'm not talking about that dimension. I'm talking about the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit, the immediateness, something that's immediate, and that it's God, and it's wonderful and powerful, where we sense the Holy Spirit at work, touching us. And often, you know, perhaps we would say, anybody like to come forward for prayer, please come. And let's just say 20, 30, 40 people come and line up, and we're praying, and God's touching that person, and that person's weeping, and that person over there is getting healed. That is the immediacy, that it's not just a truth, but it's happening, and we can experience it. You know, people getting right with each other. I made a statement here. If a church has the manifest presence of God in its midst, things happen. Things happen. It just happens. We can't, because why? Because we've taken a step back so God can touch somebody. We've played an extra part of a song. Why? It's because as we begin to sing and play, we found out the Lord was beginning to move. And that manifest presence is what we want to happen all the time. Yes, we thank God for the promise that he's with us. But what about the experience of him being with us? The guiding, the directing, the refreshing, the refilling. People getting right, as I've mentioned. And so if a church has the manifest presence, not just the historical promise, but if things are really happening, that's often the setting that miracles occur. And we go and we say, why don't we go lay hands on so and so? And we go over and we lay hands on them, and they're touched, and maybe we prayed for deliverance. I don't know, but these are just some of the things that get, but the point of it is that people sense it. They sense it. Hearts are touched. Tears flow. It's just how it is. We ought to believe for it and anticipate that it can't. See, in other words, you shouldn't be able to explain our church. You shouldn't be able to explain it. If it's so explainable that it's just a bunch of meetings, they have two on the weekend and some small groups in the middle of the week. I think, is that it? Is that? Well, that's good then. I'm glad the Lord has been with us down through the years and grateful for it. But what if the Lord said, I want you to say, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And we say, wow, presence of the Lord is in this place. Remember that old song, I can feel his mighty power and his strength. And people are, somebody set free, somebody falls on the ground, we don't care. Somebody's being ministered to. You know, they're just being touched. And we just say, that's okay, God's moving. How awesome is this place? That's what the writer says. How awesome is this place? What a great word. How is it awesome? They're right behind, they're right up, right in, it's right on track here. How awesome is this place? So that God's presence in us, because that is true, because the Holy Spirit has come to take up residency within us, God's presence in us does great things. It just does, if we believe for it and trust God for it, that the Holy Spirit, so we say that is a Holy Spirit-led church. Why? Because God's manifest presence. Every church has the historical, scriptural, biblical basis. That's, you know, we say, well, thank God for the book of Acts. Yes, I say that too. Thank God for the book of Acts. Is that it? Is the most we could hope for was something 2,000 years ago? I mean, to say thank God for the day of the book of Acts, right? That's the founding of the church. I say, wow, wonderful. That's our basis of everything. It's the church being founded. And in some cases, say, but there are groups that have never sensed anything for all those years. Where is the power of God? Where is the presence of God? Where is the fire of God? That must always be maintained. Otherwise, it'll just be kind of sluggish and goodness. I mean, it's all fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But nobody can remember when a miracle happened. Nobody can remember when somebody was slain. And it's just predictable. And I'm saying at every point in every age of us that God's presence doesn't change. And you and I can still have our own personal Pentecost. That's very available. And that supernatural things begin to happen. As Marcel was sharing with us, you know, setting up for this night of bringing a friend. And I think that's fantastic. I think it's a great idea. But we must pray that it will move into the supernatural. That somebody sitting in that meeting who comes, that gathering with the food and the jazz and the film, that somehow there should be something unexplainable because we've been in prayer. And so he'll be calling us to prayer too, because if you can just say, no, get a few people together and we'll have some music, I think that's all we'll get. But what if we really sought the Lord? We said, God, work in this place. May the mighty presence of the Lord just come down upon us. And people walk and say, you know, I've never been in a church before. It was the first time I've ever there. I really enjoyed it. And yet something deeper than that even perhaps occurring. That we're able to say, how awesome is this place? Not just, see, I think people drift away from church, both as individuals as well as congregations. I think it's just too much of the same old, same old. There's no sense of God has come to this place. And my heart was touched, or your heart was touched. See, that's because God's presence is when each day, for you and for me, great things could happen and can happen. Why? Because the great one is within us. The power of God is in us. And it's you can't manipulate it, but you can pray it, and you can invite the Lord to come and to move us beyond, to something beyond the way it's supposed to be, so that it's fresh and vibrant. And my worst feeling as a pastor and as a Christian is that, how was church? By the way, that's what my neighbor asks every single Sunday, and that's what she'll ask in a couple hours from now. We'll come in there and she'll say, hey, how is church? Or, how is God? That's her favorite. How is God? I said, hey, he told me to tell you that he really loves you. And he missed you a lot. Yeah. And then I told her that I say this from the pulpit, so she knows that too. But she's going to say, so that's a good question. How is church? You know what? I'll just be honest with you, okay? I just dread this. It's fine? No, don't say that. It was fine. How was the music? It was fine. How was the singing? It was okay. How was the preaching? So. How was the fellowship? It was good. No, don't say that. Tell me it was terrible, awful, wonderful. No, just say it's the same thing. Every time we come together, is it just good? Yeah, no, it's fine. It was good. It was fine. Is there anything earth-shattering? Is there anything that we unexplainable? No, it was just nice, nice. Nice people. Nice church. Nice sermons. Nice events. Nice music. That's nice. Very nice. No, make it awful. Make it terrible. Say, it was dreadful. It was awesome in that place. Oh, now, that would be so wonderful. So great. Because if that's what it boils down to, that was fine. There's lots of groups that are the same thing. Right? There's all kinds of them. There's hundreds of them that have gatherings from yoga to whatever else it would be. And they have a program to follow. They do what they're supposed to do. they greet each other and they say goodbye until the next week. And I think this is probably, without God's manifest presence, we will be that way too, just a little further down the road. That, you see, there's an urgency about this, that we cannot let the church drift into deadness and predictability, because the first century church certainly never did. It was very alive and vibrant and things, great things happening because God's presence was in them and with them and around them. And it's simply true. God's presence in us does great things. And that's when we pray. We say, Lord, those great things, not just the nice things with the nice people and the nice music. I can see that doesn't bother you as much as it does me. So I'll just nurse that for a while. Because I'm just saying I've had 50 years of seeing that. That if there's not a fresh encounter with God meeting people where they are, right? You come in the door and God meets you and takes you to another level and ministers to you. And you say, wow, the sermon was fine, all the music was good, but God really touched me. I think I got hope for my marriage now. I've got hope for this. I feel an optimism. They prayed for me and that heaviness lifted. I don't feel that now. There's so many things I could just say, but that should be normative. That it just is. That when we come to church, the power of God, the Lord is in our midst, blessing us, touching us, ministering to us. So, getting and maintaining the presence of the Lord in our lives and in the church. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, it paints a very, I don't remember ever reading this before. Isn't it funny how you come across and say, did I ever read that before? I must have read it before. I just don't remember it. So, 2 Chronicles 15. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found of you. If you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel was without the true God. Now, picture that. What a statement. For a long time, Israel was without the true God. And this is the result of that. There's a list of things, awesome things. I mean, scary things. And they were without a teaching priest. And they were without law. There was no authority in the church, in the gathering, in the nation. So they were without teaching priest. They were without law. It says, and when in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him. That's what they did. They sought him. And he was found by them. And in those times, there was no peace. Now, picture this. Your translation must be the same as mine, I'm sure. Very close. In those times, there was no peace to him who went out to him or to him who came in. For great distress, or great disturbances, not to some, great disturbances, afflicted all the inhabitants of the land. Verse 6, they were broken in pieces. Nation was crushed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every sort of distress. Verse 7, but you, take courage. Do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Wow. What a great passage. What a condition. See, it's a picture of the culture. The culture that we live in is already starting to disintegrate. I didn't think I'd see it in my own lifetime. But it's decaying. Canada is dying inside in the core. The United States is dying at the core. And churches, the truth of the matter, I mean, God is at work. But the condition right now, Canada is seen as one of the coldest places to minister of anywhere. It's disturbing. It's like this describes you. Wow. Imagine all those things that there was. It was drifting so far. And I can see that as well. Everybody has a kind of a chuckle about it, but it's the strength of the church requires that the people of God would be alive. If the Spirit of God doesn't move among us, it's going to be dead. And old churches, go to England. You want to see churches that are old. I mean, they're beautiful. The cathedrals are fantastic, but there's nobody in them. I went in and talked to somebody. A huge, magnificent building. I said, how was church this morning? Oh, don't get too much these days. I said, well, how much do we get? And we had 32 or something, 34 people. 34 people. It probably seats 1,500. It probably seats 2,000 people. Gigantic. So they must have, at one time, there must have been a vibrancy, right? There must have been something there that said, let's build this church so we can accommodate the crowds. Well, they can accommodate it now, and it makes a nice museum, too, because that's what they are. They're all museums. People come in there. There's hundreds of people come now. They come to take pictures. And, now, on the other hand, you see that the Alpha movement and some of the very churches God has raised up to touch the hearts and lives of people. And that's our task as well. So what do we do? I call this responding to the Holy Spirit, waiting on the Lord, sensing His heart. We can have a lecture on you need to be more vibrant. I know that's not the answer. The answer is an up-to-date experience with the Holy Spirit. That's the answer. And as God moves among us, that liveness, the supernatural, that people want to be around it because they can see that great things are happening. Wonderful things are happening. And as we go, now here it is, February or March, April, go right through, right down, October, November, December, and the year will be over. And I thought, what if we were to be more conscious of this, a little more deliberate, and we said, let's invite the Spirit of God to stir this place. And to stir the pastors, and to stir the elders, and to stir the board members and the directors, and to stir the Sunday school teachers, and to stir them. Because the fish stinks from the head down, doesn't it? I believe it does. In other words, the problem is always at the top. If there is a deadness or a predictability, I don't think we're dead, but I think there's a predictability here that I could write my journal in advance. And I have a journal, and I write in it, but I could write it in advance. What's been happening at the church these days? What's the next entry? What's been happening at the church these days? To ask the questions, the hard questions. And it's discouraging. It's discouraging in many ways that it feels and looks just like it always looked, which maybe that's okay in many ways, because that's why we're here, because we love it, right? Isn't that why we're here? Because we love it, right? Good. All right, just checking. Come back. But you know and I know, if you've experienced the Holy Spirit in your heart, you can never quite be the same for just church as usual. If you've knelt down before the Lord and wept, thanking Him for saving you and filling you, and you know you're just not sure what's going on, but you know that God's at work in your heart. Can you imagine a whole church of that? That's what I'm talking about, the whole church of that. People just say, oh, Spirit of God, Spirit of God. touch my heart. Don't let me be part of the decay. Because I think it's just by life, a plane takes off, a church takes off, and the first 15 years of that, it's phenomenal what can happen. Just steady growth all the way up. And then when it reaches year 15, this is documented stuff, when it reaches year 15, it begins to level off, and then it coasts for years. You can get a lot of stuff happening just because the systems are in place. And the organization is in place. And so it keeps going level off, and it can go 20, 30, 40 years. And then it comes down, and you're going to say, whoa, where's this going? It's going down. It's just that it takes a long time to go down. Somewhere, it's like, you remember I was telling you about the group of people that they wanted to borrow a tank. We said, well, we can't remove ours. It's just welded in here. And so they said, well, I said, don't you have a baptism tank? And they said, we haven't been anybody. This is what they said. No one's been baptized in 15 years. 15 years. Oh, man. Does that not just yank on your ecclesiastical socks and more than anything you could? How's it going? Well, we had a baptism. What year was that? Oh, yeah, that was 2016. That's right. We need to pray that the Spirit of the Lord will be alive in this place, starting with us, Marcel and I, and touching everybody who comes in this, who calls this home, that we would be part of the manifest presence of Jesus, that we're leading the renewal. But I think renewals are led so you don't go off into the bushes and some crazy things, but that we would ask for that deliciousness, that freshness of the Spirit of God, that we're able to say, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, if you're not in this, if you're not guiding us and directing us, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I want to go where the Lord is working, as you do. I know that, where the Lord is working. And you know what? Maybe the difficult thing is that we're sometimes not thirsty enough, not hungry enough, especially since you have some nice ushers and some, good people and wonderful children. And church is a great church. And so we're kind of, I guess we need a revival, but it doesn't seem like we do because we got such a good church right now. I hear people say it all the time. They say, just love your church. Your church is a great church. And we can say, thank you, Lord, right? We can say, thank you, God. I'm glad that's felt. But there must be more, and it must continue all the time to renewal and to renewal and to renewal and to renewal, because one step is further, it's further away from the presence and power and sense of God that comes. As I meet with the Lord, it would give me great encouragement if I knew that you were meeting with the Lord, and together you say, we're just devoted ourselves to turn to the Lord with all of our hearts and to pray that our church would be a beacon of anointing of God. I mean, just that it's just flashing, and that people would be changed, and that we would be in constant change, improving, strengthening, and staying alive. And I just think that when the Lord spoke to Israel, and he said, your priests are not doing it, he said, it's drifting. But the good news was they turned to the Lord. And that's what our job is, not to kind of create something here. Wouldn't that be a fleshly idea? Well, let's try to make something happen. No, I don't want to go there. Well, they said, brother, false fire is better than no fire. No, it isn't. No, that used to be an expression. False fire is better than no fire. No, it's not. It's terrible. False fire brought the judgment of God. We want the fire of God that matters, the presence of the Lord. And it's wonderful. I think it's quite, as I was telling you, those moments that I've had in the dark, in the bushes and gathering, every one of them, the Lord was preparing me for more. And I would say to you today as we close, I suspect that God is working in you and on you and through you right now. be really open. If you can, without making that a forced thing, just to be open to God. He might talk to you when you least experience, when you least expect it. He may just whisper to you. You may be home some night alone, and you just, for whatever reason, you just feel like weeping, and just don't fight that thing. God's maybe preparing your heart for how He's going to use you. I don't think what I was experiencing, I don't think was a pastoral thing. It was a follower of Jesus thing. And I did, and I'm glad that I didn't miss the visitation. I took that next and said, okay, God, let's go. Wherever you're going, let's do that. So I think for yourself, be open to the current move of God, the present thing that God's up to. And find yourself saying, what are you up to, God? So that we're kind of excited about it. Say, oh, we're excited about our church. Why? Because we sense the Holy Spirit's moving. See, isn't that, that's the church I want to go to on a Sunday. When we're not sure how this is going to go entirely, but we're not going to, you're not going to, you know, seal it, and we're not going to exploit it. We're just going to let it happen. But I know it has to be, there must be an intentionalness about this, that we say, I'm going to ask the Lord to use me in my church, that I might be a figure in a revival, and not just revival, but renewal for all of us. And so that we're renewed and renewed and renewed and renewed. It ought to be, see, I love Brother Carl, because he always sparks something beyond that for you. Brother, I really thank you for that. He's excited about the things of the Lord. No. The best kind of ache, not a headache. It's just because I know that's his heart, that the church needs to be a loving, caring, abiding place, but alive. Alive. And so right now, let me ask a question. Would you be typical of this church, I wonder? Are you typical of it? Does the average person seem, is it like you, or is it like me? Is it like that, I wonder? I've often wondered what the average person looks like. Are they, would you be a good representative that say, oh, he represents what the church looks like. I kind of like that and not like that, but yeah. I hope that I would be a good testimony of what the church could look like and should look like. So, now we got a few minutes here. I've been going overtime a bit here, but I want someone, if you could, just tell us. You said, when I said that I had met the Lord in these odd moments in the bushes, did you have experience like that, or who would like to just quickly share that?
You gotta be out there fighting, you know, passionate, going for it, if you're gonna win in sports. And in Christianity, well, we don't want to get too excited, and we don't want to be cold. We want to be like right in the middle. What's right in the middle? That's lukewarm. And God wants us to either be cold or hot for Him, and that's what we need. We need to be
or hot, cold or hot. Yes. Thank you, Lance. Thank you. Anybody else just want to share? Yeah.
Yeah, I think getting quiet is important. You could have those experiences where I can feel God telling me something or directing me or have a sense of a path for me. And I really feel like in the last little while, I sense Him telling me to turn as much stuff off as I can in the next little while. So that's what, even just jumping in the car, turn the radio off. Yeah.
In the light of that, I need to practice what I'm preaching, but I haven't been doing this as much as I would like. But for some of you, it might be good to rent a prayer place for a night, or you'll go out to some, or to even two nights if you can, and just be there. Bring along a little bit of food if you need to, or eat in, wherever you, depends where you go. But just kind of a spiritual retreat, just so you hear better. I know if you're just there with your Bible and some books and some things like that, it would really be a valuable time for you. And between Marcel and I, we can be glad to tell you some places that we know about. We haven't used them all, but just another chance to meet with the Lord alone without, it's kind of like part of shutting it off, I think. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah, what does normal look like? Which I guess makes the question, how do you, let's say we are, by the grace of God, we are. If that be true, how do we maintain that? Because as soon as it gets past the plateau, it begins to go down. That's just how life works. Everything's in decay, right? And so it finally goes down, but it doesn't have to if the renewal continued on. Yeah. Yes. There you go, Marcel, wherever you are. Take one more, then we'll... Yes, please.
I think being doers of the word, and Pastor Owen, you're an amazing teacher, and we're sitting here in these nice chairs, this beautiful chair. But I have to admit that I have to be a doer of doers. So I'm starting to go do now.
Yeah. Our faith must go beyond a church. Yes, I get that.
Grow in our faith, and our church is going to grow. And the Holy Spirit's going to come down on this place like never
before. Yeah. Amen. We'll receive that. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Let's stand. Lord, thank you that he that has begun a good work will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that this is a planting of the Lord, and we anticipate, Lord, being part of revival fires, of renewal, of fellowship, of being quickened. Lord, all these good things we want to see happen, and we can't make any of it happen. So we just say, Lord, here we are. We're yours. Let your presence be upon us. Let the power of the Spirit of God stir us, and may we be on fire for you right till Jesus comes. Don't let us die on the sidelines. Lord, we want to have on the armor of God and yielded to you and used of you to bring the love of Christ to so many that need it. And we'll thank you and praise you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being here this morning. Join us for coffee if you can. It's mild outside, and it'd be nice to talk with you.